All right, Steve Elslinger back here, and welcome again to this, you know, how to start or lead a successful men's ministry. Again, you're taking this class because you must be interested in it, be interested in men's ministry. Maybe you're a part of one, maybe you want to start one, you're not sure if you can do it. And but you're starting at the right place. You're going to learn some things. But the second thing I would like to emphasize is you need to try some things. I just watched this documentary on Elon Musk. Okay, Elon Musk started SpaceX. He wants to, you know, send rockets to Mars and so on. And I watched that whole thing, and in that documentary, someone said that the way NASA did things and the way that Elon does is like totally, or SpaceX does things, is totally different. NASA planned everything. NASA tried to figure out if something would work, and they would spend years and years working it out on paper first before they ever did anything. Whereas Elon Musk and SpaceX, what they do is they put something together, they try it, and it breaks at some point, and then they fix it. And I think there's an element of that that I want to encourage in you. You're coming, you're going to be learning some things, but don't be afraid to try things. You learn more by your failures than you do with your successes. So get used to failure. Get used to trying things out. That's the beauty of Christianity, right? God loves us. Christ died for us while we were sinners. Okay, we didn't have to get perfect first before he would, you know, love us and care for us. So we are loved as we are. So we can fail. I'm not saying we're going to go out there and on purpose sin, but what I'm saying is we can fail, that there's enough room in the Christian culture, hopefully, that you can fail and then try again and fail, learn something, and hopefully improve. But learning things, of course, you know, I'm going to give you some things that maybe you can try. All right. So lecture two, why might you lead men's ministry? All right. Matthew 9, verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Okay. So Jesus had no disciples. And so what did he do? He went around and asked people to follow him. So how could you perhaps lead a men's ministry? Well, just go ask people to follow. Ask. Okay, well, why might you not be the one to do this? Why might not you be the leader, you know, or what are the things that are really holding you back? There's probably some things holding you back from either stepping forward in leadership in an existing men's ministry or actually starting something. Maybe you lack confidence. The lack of confidence. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if it, you know, if it will succeed. Or maybe you fear judgment. If I do this, what will other men think of me? Even if I ask, you know, I could, you know, Jesus went and asked Matthew, follow me, and Matthew did it. But maybe if I asked someone to follow me, they would say, forget it. Why would I follow you? And, you know, they would list all the mistakes that you've done. You're not a leader, you know. So you fear the judgment of other people. Or if you start leading something, you do a Bible study, and maybe you don't know enough. There's the pressure to perform. If you're going to lead, if you're going to step up and say, here, let's make something happen, you have to follow through. Well, is that going to be you? Are you going to be able to do that? There's insecurity about personal struggles. Okay, you have your own struggles with your wife, with your children, maybe with someone at work, maybe someone at church, maybe with the pastor. I don't know. You have your own personal struggles with different people, and how in the world are you going to gather a band of brothers together when you have your own problems? Lack of support or resources. Yeah, you know, maybe the church you go to doesn't even want this. Maybe they don't support you. Or maybe they want it, but they don't think that you can do it. Or at least that's the impression that you have, that your own pastor doesn't believe in you, or your own spouse doesn't believe in you, that you can do it. So no one's lining up to say, let's do this. Time and commitment constraints. Okay, you're thinking about this, you'd like to do it, sounds like a good thing, but do you have the time? Are you really going to hang in there? Because if you're going to start a men's ministry, it's going to take some time. And if you're leading it, you better be there. You know, other men can come and go, well, this week I'm doing something else. But you, if you're leading, you have to be there. Maybe you don't think you know enough. Right? You know, I don't know if I know my Bible enough. I don't know if I know doctrine enough. I don't know if I know about the church enough. I don't know if I know church history enough. And maybe I know enough of these things, but I'm not a very good communicator. I don't know if I can communicate this. I don't know if I can organize. I don't know if I can, hold people accountable. I don't know if I have enough discipline. I don't know if I'm an encourager enough. I don't know if, you know, on and on and on it goes, right? All your faults. All the things that you think you lack. I mean, whenever you start thinking about doing something, it's like the devil puts in front of you the whole, you know, here's your list. This is the list of all the things that disqualify you from leading anything. And that happens to all of us. If it's happening to you right now, you're in good company, because it happens to all of us. All the brightest and the best Christian leaders, you know, second-guessing themselves, wondering if they're the ones, am I qualified? That's what Moses did, right? God comes and calls Moses. Moses is the perfect person. He grew up in the house of Pharaoh, but he was a Hebrew. He knew the desert. He crossed the desert. And God calls him and says, I want you to go back. I want you to lead the people out of Oh, I can't do it because I can't speak. Really. I can't do it. So, I mean, everyone does this. So what I'm saying is, if you feel this way, you're in good company, okay? So those are the reasons why you might not do this. You might not lead a men's ministry. Let's look at some reasons why you might be the perfect choice. Number one, you are a disciple. Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You are one of these disciples. Jesus wasn't just talking to the 11. Remember, Judas was eliminated. He was talking to all of us. We are disciples. That authority on heaven and earth has been given to us, has been given to you. This command is directly to you. Go and make disciples. Now, how qualified were these disciples of Jesus? If you read the Gospels, they lacked faith. They were accused many times of having little faith. They questioned, they doubted. All the same stuff that we do. And yet, Jesus said, you guys, I'm giving the commission to start the greatest entity the world has ever seen, the church. I'm giving it to you. So, yeah, you may not have enough knowledge. You may not be a great speaker like Moses thought he was not a great speaker. You might not be a, you know, the all-around doctrine knowledgeable person that you think you should be. You may wonder about your organizing skills. You all the stuff that comes up whenever you start thinking about leading. But all authority on heaven and earth has been given to you to go and make disciples. Jesus spent those years making these disciples, and then he said, I want you to go and do the same. I don't care how disqualified you are. I don't care whether you're a fisherman, a tax collector, or what you are. I don't care what your limitations are. I'm calling you. You are a disciple. Number two, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8. This is, you know, the 11 wondered what to do. You know, they elected another disciple to take the place of Judas. In verse 8, this is before Jesus ascended, so they haven't elected this disciple yet. But these are the other last words that Jesus had to his disciples, okay? Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is a ragtag group of people that Jesus has been discipling for 3 years. Now Jesus is leaving and he's saying, you will be my witnesses right here and there and in the whole world. Like, really? Yeah, because I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just you. It's not just you, Fisherman Peter. It's Fisherman Peter plus Holy Spirit plus the teachings of Jesus. And you will change the world. And that promises to you too. See, all the limitations, all the things that say to you that you can't do something, you can't lead something, guess what? Everyone has the same thought. Jesus came specifically for people like you and said, okay, yeah, I get how you feel this way, but you know what? I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. But you're not going to feel the power of the Holy Spirit until you go out and do something. You know, a lot of people complain, I don't feel the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't feel the power of God. I don't feel the presence of God. Well, do something where you need God. If you keep doing the things that you already know that you can do, the same things, and when you've accomplished those things, you just say, well, I did those things. Yeah, you haven't given any room for God. Why don't you try something that you know that you can't do on your own? And then when it happens, you go, oh, I see. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, you have unique gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 2, 7. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Every single Christian is given at least one gift from the Holy Spirit. That includes you. Now, you might not know what it is. Okay? See, you might want to ask people in your life, you know, what gift do you think I have? Or, the other way, is to get out there and try stuff. You know, eventually you'll figure out what it is. Number four, you will be helped. You will be helped. You know, when it comes to the gifts, you don't have all the gifts. Okay? When you think about doing something in men's ministry and taking a leadership or starting something, you're like, you know, all the lag, all the things that you don't have come to mind. You know, am I organized enough? Well, maybe you don't have to be organized because someone else is going to do that. Well, I don't know if I can speak well. Well, maybe that's not going to be your role in this thing. Well, I don't think I can recruit well. Well, maybe you will be helped. Other men have other gifts. You just have to find the right men with the right gifts to get the thing going. Mark 6, verse 7, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. I think Jesus understood that we all are inherently insecure about stepping out of faith, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about you stepping out, but you're like, I don't know. The disciples were the exact same way. So what did Jesus do? He said, well, I'm going to send you two by two. When you attempt something difficult, but that you have a partner, you have somebody with you, it's a whole lot easier. When you go into a scary situation, you know, it's dark at night, and you're walking. If you're walking alone, you're thinking there's something bad behind every tree. But when you're walking with a friend, it's like, okay, you can do this. Yeah, that's what marriage is supposed to be. You know, there's two. Proverbs talks about that two strands are strong. Three strands are really strong. So if you have a partner, someone that you're doing this with, and God, you have a three-strand cord that cannot be broken. So my advice is to find someone else and share this vision that you have for men's ministry. Don't do this alone. Do it with a partner. You know, one person trying to make something happen is often a lonely prophet speaking, you know, in the desert. But two people is a movement. Two people who are trying to do something, two people who believe in the same thing, is the beginning of a movement. Look for potential leaders with different gifts. They can share the load. Invite, step out and do something, share your vision for men's ministry. And relax, it's not your ministry. See, in the end, it's not even your ministry. It's not your thing. You don't own this. God is just letting you start something, but it's His ministry. So, you know, you're just trying to do the best you can. That's it. And it may go well at first, it may not go well at first, but you know, that's God's problem. I remember when I planted a church, it finally dawned on me, I'm not planting a church. I am being used by God to plant His church. It's His church, not mine, and if things are not going well, God, you know, what are you going to do about it? I mean, I'm doing what I can. I'm trying to be faithful, but in the end, it's not mine. And, you know, the gifts that you've given are the gifts you've given me. This is what I have. It's not working. In some ways, it's God's problem. I remember when I finally realized my church is God's problem, not mine. And He needs to direct me. He needs to lead me. I'm willing to be a servant and do whatever it is. But Lord, you have to let me know what it is. I'm willing to do it, but, you know, it's not mine. I finally relaxed a little bit. Okay, so, you know, can you do it? Is this for you? You know, you have all these negatives, all these reasons why you can't do it. Well, I don't know if I had the formal training. That's another one. I don't know if I had the formal training. Well, what are you doing right now? That's where you're getting right now. You're at CLI. Maybe you've taken some other classes. You can take some more classes. You can get as qualified as you want to get. So, I think, you know, in other words, most of the excuses that we have are things that we can actually do something about. I don't have enough knowledge. Well, you can get knowledge. I don't have an experience. Well, get out there and do something. You can get experience. Again, you know, I started out with this whole thing about trial and error, you know, Elon Musk, SpaceX. Get out and do something. You know, you've already had two lectures in this class. What other men have you shared anything about this with? Nobody? You know, figure out at least two guys before you watch lecture number three and go out and share what you've learned, what you're thinking about, or the questions that you might have with two other men. But don't look at lecture number three until you've done that. Okay, we'll see you next time.